Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the importance of product information management and data asset management systems for web developers. Every online store builder should consider working with product information management systems, called PIMS, and data asset management systems, called DAMs. Your precious assets, which can take up a lot of storage, need to be securely stored in a place where you can easily access them. Fortunately, you don't have to configure this all on your own. There are systems in place to help you store, organize, and customize your assets. On today's episode, you'll hear how to define PIMS and DAMs. PIMS refer to systems that help you centralize and customize your product information. Any information about your product that is relevant for online shoppers and sellers needs to be stored and formatted correctly for the various outlets that are selling the product. And DAMs refer to similar systems for managing your data assets. These include things like product images, gallery photos, informational videos, and any other related digital content that accompanies your products. These assets need to be stored securely and must be quickly accessible for online usage. Next, we'll talk about who should invest in PIMS and DAMs and why they are important. Sellers who market their products to multiple marketplaces and sellers need to consider using these services to ensure that their products are correctly formatted and functioning wherever they are being sold. Sellers who have a mixture of online and offline business or work with printed catalogs should also consider these services. Then we'll talk about how to get started. Upload your product information and data assets into your PIM and DAM systems. Keep in mind that some PIMs now have DAM functionality. Once your assets are uploaded, you can use the system of your choice to customize, adapt, and model what you've uploaded to meet your online needs. And finally, we'll share some resources for you to check out. If you're looking for a better way to manage your product information and your data assets, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show. Great to see you again.
It's good to see you, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. We are talking about PIMS and DAMs today. We've got a lot of acronyms to go over, but really useful information for our listeners. Let's start with a PIM. What is a PIM? What does it stand for?
A PIM is a product information management tool. I think the management. It's product information management, and DAM is digital asset management.
Okay.
PIMs store all the data related to products. DAMs store all the assets related to products. Right. So you think about PIMs as and we're gonna have to back up, right, to be like, great, you just told us what the acronyms are, but why would anyone use these things, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're a store builder and you haven't been building very, very large sites, if you haven't been in the enterprise, you may have heard of a asset management solution or may have had a customer ask about asset management, but you may have never heard of PIM, right? Mm. Product information management is something you likely may not, again, unless you're dealing with stuff, right? So before I jump into that, right, let's talk about a visit. If you've ever visited Best Buy, right? If you've ever visited, and I don't care if it's been online or in the store, but if you've ever visited Best Buy and you've looked up a SKU, like you're right there in the aisle, you're looking at a receiver or a camera or a speaker or anything, you're looking at a television and you see the SKU of that television. And so what do? Right? You pull up your phone these days and you type it in if you're in the physical store. Mm-hmm. You open up a tab if you're at home online and you do a Google search for that SKU. You want to know about that SKU. You want to know reviews and what have you. Mm-hmm. And you realize that's not the same SKU as the same thing, same television on Amazon. Like what's going on? why is it that Amazon has one SKU and Best Buy has another SKU? You go, well, because the good folks at LG, when they're making that television, know that they have to manage, right, the data, the specifications, the nuances and whatever for the TV that goes to Best Buy potentially differently than they have to manage it for Amazon. And at Best Buy, on the Best Buy website, the hierarchy of data, right, when you think about your categories and you were at Best Buy and you went, let me go to televisions and then let me pick OLED and then boom, there's the LG, right? But at Amazon, it might be electronics and then televisions and then HD versus non-HD and then, you know, OLED and OLED and then LG, right? The hierarchy is different. And you go, well, who does that? Mm-hmm. And if you've never thought about who does that, right? If you're just like, how come the SKUs are different? How come the title says the exact same title, but the descriptions are different?
Yeah.
I don't know. It is the result of large companies, enterprise companies, navigating the complexities of being suppliers or large enterprises like Best Buy or Amazon having suppliers and navigating this dynamic. And what we know is that the hierarchies in one place, the hierarchies in another differ. And so you have to take your product. Imagine if you're a product manager and you're like, well, do I put it in this category or this category? And you go, both, in this one this way and in this one. And do I give them this data or this, right? And so you start living in this world of having data in a lot of places in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
And that's where you want to centralize. A PIM is a centralizer, right?
Okay.
Centralize and put all your product data in one place. Now, again, maybe you've worked in a large company and you discover that there's more than one person who knows about this product, right? Manufacturing, the people who build it know something, but also the marketing people know something and the product manager knows something. And then you want to centralize how you store one source of truth, but then you're going to push it out into different areas. So you may have never experienced a PIM, right? And that's okay. But when you start building stores that have multiple suppliers and different suppliers, you're going to want them to send you feeds, right? If you're building out a store, if you're a store builder for a merchant who says, I have the same product, but coming in from three different suppliers, you're not going to manually type in all those products and you're not going to want your merchant to type in all those products. So what do they say? Oh, I'm going to get a feed from my supplier. Well, you're going to want to put that somewhere where you can then manage it or they can manage it and edit it, what have you. That's a reason you might look at a PIM.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the centralized single source. And then you have to push it out to all your endpoints. That's a PIM. A DAM is all about making sure that you have assets for that. And again, you get in this crazy world where the image has to be one size to Target and a different size to Walmart and a different size to Amazon. That's where a DAM can help.
Okay. Let's go a little bit more in depth into the DAM then. What kind of assets are we looking at here?
Often it is the images that are specific to the product, right? So think about your product, key product feature item. Feature photo, you also have all your gallery photos, right? All the different photos. You might also, just the nature of how it plays out, you might be in a place where you're going, hey, I want to store a data sheet, like a single glossy, right? Mm-hmm. You could potentially put that in the DAM because it is a document that is a digital asset, right? A lot of people just start with just images, but eventually you're going to get into PDFs, I would imagine, right? You'll get into PDFs and want these things all centrally stored. What you don't want to do, right, is you don't want to be in a place where someone says, hey, do you have one of these? Do you have a doc that does this? And you're like, I don't know, let me go look at my email system, right? Let me go look at my file system, see if I find that, right? My PowerPoint world, right, in my Excel world, because I create a lot of PowerPoint slides and I create a lot of Excel models, in Dropbox, it's ridiculous, right? So if you don't have a naming algorithm or whatever, you can just do a generic like, oh, I need a model, right? And then you're like, oh, here are 600 Excel spreadsheets. You're going to open every one of them? So DAMs store digital assets, right? So photos, think about documents or PDFs. And they store them in a way that allows you to have them and store them and get access to them quickly.
Okay.
You then get into nuances, right? Where you might say, again, like I said earlier, this image has to go with one sizing this direction to this endpoint, and a different size image has to go that way, right? So when you start managing that, you get into this kind of nightmare. Because the last thing you want to do is send a beautiful photo of your product to Amazon and to Walmart, and Walmart crops half of the goodness out of the image. And you're like, this sucks.
Right. Okay. So first of all, do these go hand in hand? Do you need to use DAMs with PIMs, or can you kind of use one or the other?
Yeah, you can definitely use a DAM on its own. And people do. These days, most PIMs have some sort of DAM functionality.
Okay.
Right. So they're often, from the PIM perspective, they're also joined at the hip. And so a lot of times, if you buy a PIM, you're gonna come with, you know, like, oh, okay, I also get this DAM.
Okay.
But you can use them separately, individually, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times it comes back to, you know, like, so even for us, right? Why are we talking about PIMs and DAMs? A lot of our focus is with store builders who are in the SMB space, not the enterprise space, right? So you might be using WooCommerce, you might be using Magento, you might be building out those kind of stores, and you may have come across the need for a DAM, but maybe you haven't even gotten to a PIM. And so the question is, why are we even talking about it? Well, part of the dynamic is that now we're talking about multi-channel and omni-channel all the time.
Mm.
Part of the dynamic is that merchants today are asking the question, how do I get my product catalog over at Google and over at Amazon and over at Walmart and over at Newegg and over at, and it just keeps going. The list keeps getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you realize, oh boy, if I'm managing it in Magento or if I'm managing it in WooCommerce, things are going to get complicated pretty fast, right?
Right?
Because my catalog tool was not designed to say this SKU if it's at this store and this SKU if it's at this store, right?
Right.
That doesn't play out. Or it doesn't work if you're like, well, I want the same title, but the paragraph, I want this paragraph to be this for this vendor and this for that. You can't, like, so eventually with omni-channel and multi-channel being, and I know I'm using those synonymously, but they're not synonymous. They're very different things. But fundamentally, in a requirement, when your merchant has a requirement to take your content from your e-commerce platform and distribute it to lots of other places, you're going to start feeling the challenge that your e-commerce platform isn't designed to manage all this. And
right.
When that hits, you won't even have the turn. You won't know what to look for, right? You're like, I need a syndication solution for, but like, and that's where we said, okay, it's important to introduce you to the terms PIM and DAM, PIMDAM, product information management, digital asset management, because those are the tools. When you start looking, you'll find a whole category of tools that you've never looked at before.
Okay. Who is this for? Who should primarily be looking at PIMs and DAMs?
Any store builder who's building for a merchant who says, I want to mix online and offline. I want to mix a variety of marketplaces. I want to push to eBay. I want to push to Amazon. Anyone who's going to manage a printed catalog, right? Like when you think about your product information and you're going to distribute that to multiple endpoints, not just your online platform, not just your specific online tool. The moment you're going to go to more than one endpoint, you probably ought to start thinking about a PIM.
Okay. Are these PIMs and DAMs, are they on the cloud? Are they hosted on your website? Where are they actually located?
All the above.
Okay.
you can get Akinio, which is one of the most well-known players, is a PIM and one of my favorites. It exists in a free community edition that you can download, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also exists in a enterprise one that you can deploy on your own environment or a cloud version, right?
Okay.
Others are only in the cloud. Others are only downloadable. So there's a lot of players out there. And I can get you a list, right? So we can put it on the resource, the, you know, show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But each one, it takes its own approach, right? And so you definitely look at those and figure out, okay, what's right for me.
Okay, great.
And then I should mention this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you have to do when you're looking at one of those, right, is you have to ask yourself, okay, I'm running a Magento store and I want to use a PIM. I have to ask myself, does Akinio, right, have a connector for Magento? Now, the answer is yes. Does it have one for WooCommerce? The answer is yes. But you might find another player out there and you read all the beautiful things and then you discover it doesn't connect to your store, right? Well, that's not going to be good. Or you have to ask, does it have the other connectors to the other endpoints you want, right?
Yeah.
And so if you want a connector to Walmart and it doesn't have it, right, then that's not necessarily going to be the PIM for you. So
okay.
A lot of times we just say, hey, get this tool and it'll be good. In this particular case, because you're talking a lot about integration, this is one of those things where you have to say, will it connect to my source and will it connect to all the destinations that I care about? And if so, then that's a PIM or a DAM that I want to look at.
Okay, great. I was wondering if we could maybe talk through someone who doesn't use PIMs and DAMs yet, maybe just how does it work? How would someone start from scratch and set this up on their site?
Yeah, sure. So let's say that you have you've just downloaded, installed, configured, or you just bought Akinio in the cloud, right? The first thing you want to do is you want to take your content from your store, right? Let's say you have a Magento store. You want to take it from your Magento store and you want to do exports from your Magento store so that you can load it into, for the first time ever, right? Load it into your PIM. So you would go and you'd say, okay, let's export all of my categories, right? And then you're going to go in to Akinio and you're going to say, I want to upload a CSV file and I want to do it of all my categories, right? And so you're going to go in and you're going to load that. And you go, okay. And so you think about this PIM as a big database, right?
Okay.
You're going to load this all up and go, okay, here it is, right? So you're going to end up with, what's the field? What's the label that goes into that field, right? And and drop it in. And what you're really doing is you're doing some modeling, right? Because every single customer who uses the PIM can use it in their own way. You're basically saying, I want to explain to you how my world works, right? And so every upload of this stuff, you're shaping out the model and you're loading it up with these files so that everybody, you know, so that you can use the product the way you want to use it. So it doesn't, the nice thing about these products is they don't create a rigid hierarchy and tell you, you have to jam your stuff into it. You define the model, right? So let's say you get all your categories in, right? You then can look and see all your categories in the thing. And you go, okay, this is very good, right? So then you're like, okay, now I got to do more. I got to add all the attributes because your product, right? And the reason we do it this order, right? Your product sits at the center connected to a bunch of categories and a bunch of attributes, right? Every product you load in is going to have these ties. So what you do is you load in a bunch of these descriptors or these the categories of data that you're going to have, the metadata about your product, you load those in, and then you bring in your product and you can make connections to all the attributes and all the categories in it. Because often a product sits in multiple categories and often a product has multiple attributes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to want to load in all the attributes. And it's not just the attributes for a specific product. It's all the attributes of all the products, right? So you may say, well, everyone has description, short description, and price. You go, yes, but you also have a sale price and a sale from and a sale end, right? That's additional data.
Yeah.
You might have what's your internal cost, right? If you're managing that kind of dynamic and different suppliers will give it to you at different rates, you might have weight, right? And so all of these things are going to be different attributes that you're going to load in and say, let's put it in here. And you're going to put a label to it and what have you, right? You also have to define, right? Are these going to be fields, text fields? Are they going to be numbers? Are they going to be dates? Are they going to be... So it's, again, it's all about content modeling and your upload is going to help shape that model.
Okay.
So then you end up with a whole bunch of attributes. And then, of course, as you can imagine, if you had an attribute that was a dropdown, right, then you're going to need attribute options. So then you're going to load all those. So this becomes a very boring exercise of just a lot of loading in data, right? And when you do that, when you get all that in play, and attribute groups and you're configuring, what you're really doing is modeling out your catalog so okay. that you can then say, okay, I have all this in place in Magento. You know, there are families which are attribute sets. You're gonna configure those and connect those up. And when you have all this in place, you're gonna load in your products, and then you will say, ooh, look, I have my catalog in an abstracted form, separate from Magento or separate from WooCommerce or separate from anywhere else. I have it in this pin. Mm-hmm. Now you have one central place. So now you don't send people to go make a tweak or edit in Magento. Now you come to Akinio and you say, I'm going to edit it here, right? I'm going to edit it in one central place. And when you do that, right, you can then start talking about the destinations or where you're going to push it to, connectors that get this information updated back to Magento. But this is where you start going, ooh, I can update to Magento, but I can also update it to Amazon. And you can even create, in many of these PIMs, you can create, not only there was the baseline model, you can create another edition of the model that is unique to just Amazon, right? So you could kind of do a copy and shift over. Again, different PIMs work slightly differently in how they do it. But you can create this version that is just Amazon, and then you start manipulating data there, right?
Okay.
And so then you're gonna make it, you know, it's cascading changes. So you make a change in the top one, it'll flush to all the middle ones. But if you just make a change here, it'll push it back out. So you get this idea of saying, wow, I now am managing product data, which is different than saying I'm managing an e-commerce platform, right? And that's maybe the biggest deal here is when you, today, if you're a store builder that is like, I'm configuring the platform and I'm moving on, I'm good, and there it is, you're really thinking about configuring the platform, you're not really thinking about the products. The products are just whatever the customer jams in there and you move on in life. As a store builder, as you start working with merchants who are deploying their catalog information to lots of other endpoints, you want to be the one that walks them through, oh, we may want to think about this because you're going to find the limitation. And here's where it gets crazy, right?
Yeah.
Imagine the merchant goes, yeah, my Magento store or my WooCommerce store doesn't work anymore because it can't handle this, this, and this. And they throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you're like, no, your platform was fine. It was fine for doing what it was supposed to do. So it's your job as a store builder to say, hold on a second, right? This Magento store or this WooCommerce store are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But you want more than that. You want to take this product information, get it out to Amazon or get it to Walmart or whatever other relationships you've built up. Or you want to print out a catalog or what have you. We're going to need to back up, pull this information into the PIM, and then let you control it from the PIM. It's a layer of abstraction, but it's a layer of abstraction that allows you then to tweak and manage this information so that it goes to all the endpoints. Now you've shifted from, you know, the merchant has shifted from working with the platform to working and managing the products, which is why this started up in the enterprise space, because they know that world very well.
Okay, great. So maybe to wrap up, do you have any recommendations for where to go for PIMs and DAMs?
Yeah, there is a... There's a great resource for Magento at magento.com/resources/scaling-e-commerce-PIM. And it is a guide that was written between Magento and Akinio on how to think about this stuff, right? And so that is a, it's a great introduction. It's a great explanation of what it is and how it works, and how it helps you drive growth. So that's a good resource. I will get you, separate from this, I'll get you a list of some of the most common PIMs out there that we see so that you can put it in the list and we can go, oh, here it is. Check each of these out. And really, this is just the beginning of a journey for people, right? If they're just hearing about PIMs for the first time and want to start looking at it, we'll give you some resources to say, here's how to check it out.
Okay, great. Chris, this was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how PIMs and DAMs can provide a necessary service for your online business. We also shared some tools and resources which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory.
Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.